The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is found in Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, for my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 15th chapter. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Thus writes St. Mark in his Gospel, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Christ died and Christ rose for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The feast of Easter and the resurrection of our Lord are the proclamation of his victory on the cross. His empty tomb is the evidence, the proof, if you will, the guarantee that death would not, could not, did not have the last word. Not for Christ and not for those of you who live in him. So this day, the body of Christ, the church, celebrates his conquest. After 7 long weeks of holding her breath, as it were, the church exhales her Alleluia. She sings and chants and praises the Lord with all the exuberance she can muster, reveling and rejoicing in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And this shall be your song throughout the 7 weeks of Easter, because you are the church in this place, even as it is and ever shall be the hymn and the chant of heaven itself. We rejoice and we celebrate this Easter season because the resurrection was so necessary. Not for the Christ, the Almighty and Eternal Son of the Living God, but for you and for me. Because apart from Christ, we are the ones imprisoned by our sin, captivated by Satan and tyrannized by death and hell. Come back with me to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had followed the serpent's temptation to disobey the Lord. He spoke to them both a curse and a promise. In choosing to reject his word, our first parents brought death and pain and heartache and struggle into God's created world. Food would now be obtained only with blisters and sweat, and children would enter the world only through anguish and labor. It was not God's intention or design, but our own sin, your own sin, that made it so. And it was our willing submission to the leadership not of God, but of the diabolical one. But out of his great love, the Lord would not leave you to sleep in the bed that you and all mankind had made for yourselves. His own dear Son would enter the world, born of the woman as promised, and allowing himself to be attacked by the serpent so that by his own death he might destroy the power that death held over you. He might crush the head of Satan under his bruised heel. And in that work, he brought about the forgiveness through the shedding of his blood, the forgiveness of your sin and my sin and the world's sin. This is accomplished by the weight of the cross, which broke the power of Satan and crushed his head. You see, the victory Christ gained, he gained for you. And so it came not with a show of divine strength and power, but rather with his divine suffering of our human mortality. In order to become the second Adam, he had to suffer death with all who died by the sin of the first Adam. And he had to become like one of us and suffer all that you and I must suffer in order that his resurrection and life might become your own. The resurrection victory of Christ is made known and available by the discovery of his empty tomb and the glorious news of his resurrection from the dead. The question then, in the light of all this, is why the fear and silence on the part of the women at the tomb? For the crushing victory of the cross has also brought an end to the tyrannizing rule of our old Adam, which is why we too must enter the tomb of Jesus. There our sinfulness is buried with Christ. But doing so is painful. It is painful because it means that you must relinquish all your own self-confidence and self-reliance, along with everything you are and have, and leave in its place the grace of God in Christ alone. That is truly a terrifying thing, to come to realize what a tremendous influence sin has upon you. For as frightening and hateful as death and the grave are, you are by nature more comfortable and satisfied with these than with Christ and his resurrection. Perhaps it is because your death is one thing you have truly earned for yourself. Man is so stubborn in his pride that the charity of life in Christ is resisted to the nth degree. In any case, that is the default option of sin. It is the nature of sin, as it has been from the beginning, refusing the life that is freely offered by the Lord in favor of self-preservation and independence. Yet such independence from God is nothing less than death. It is for that very reason, because of death, that you have chosen in your sin that Christ had to suffer and die for the forgiveness of your sins and your salvation. It is also the reason why you must enter the tomb and bury your old Adam with him before you experience the resurrection. Clinging by faith to his cross and resurrection is never an easy thing, not for poor sinners like you and me, even though these offer nothing less than grace and life and every blessing. But instinctively, we cling instead to ourselves, to our own meager resources. So the proclamation of the gospel is far different and far more than the simple communication of facts and information. The story of Christ is a death-dealing conquest, and it is a contradiction of the very way of life that Adam and Eve and all of their children, right down to you and me, have willingly and even eagerly embraced. Simply knowing the facts, or even believing the facts to be true, is not enough. The reality of Christ's resurrection from death must become a part of your reality. And you must be transformed along with Christ into something new and different than you are. To embrace his cross and resurrection with faith and confession instead of silent fear requires more than knowledge. It requires the life of God, the Spirit of God. And that divine Holy Spirit has been poured out generously upon you in your baptism. That is your participation in the cross. You were buried with Christ in baptism into death, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too may walk in newness of living. It is your baptism, therefore, which makes this story more than a moment of history or a fascinating collection of facts about Jesus. It is in your baptism which Christ joins himself to you, which makes the Feast of Easter a celebration of your resurrection from the dead. Now, as in the gospel text, there is a young man robed in white, seated on the right in the tomb of the risen Christ. Like this young man of St. Mark, you also have been stripped naked of your old sinful ways in the cross and in the passion of your Lord. And by the waters of your baptism, you have entered in his tomb. There you have been cleansed of your sin and dressed in the pure white robes of his perfect righteousness. Having thus died with him, you know you shall also live with him as well. This is the one seated at the right hand of the Father, and until he shall come to bring an end to the time of death and mortality forever, we wait in the hope of our own resurrection. You see, you follow your Lord by your baptism into his death, and you enter his tomb that you might also follow him in his resurrection, and so you shall. For Christ has risen from the dead. He is risen just as he said. So therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, keep this feast of the Passover in Christ, because he has been sacrificed for you, and he has risen now for you, so that in the eating of his body and the drinking of his blood, you proclaim that death on the cross which you share. Then you also share in the feast of his kingdom, which has no end. For he has certainly risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.